Jesus, please take us from this grandstand world. It's time we got into the game.
To the Inner Jester. I've laughed. My soul was in stitches, healing. I've laughed until a calming peace, a release occurred. Then, within, I sensed funny cap on the top of his head, tattered suitcase in his hand, my inner jester, having done his work, leaving. And I bade him farewell until the next time, when again I might laugh and heal and feel my funny oneness with the Creator. And my inner jester will doff his cap, unpack his tattered case, and tickle wisdom my senses, and fickle know my straight-laced and narrow problems into a curved and windy breeze. And with a passing God bless, I'll rest and laugh through it all. Through every bit of it, I'll laugh and laugh and laugh. A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. Proverbs. A thank you from my merry heart to Kevin MacLeod for his instrumental entitled Merry Go, found at incompetech.com.
I'm laughing now so joyfully, I'm laughing every day. I'm laughing at those fear thoughts till those fear thoughts go away. I'm laughing and I'm happy in a way I've never been. This world I've seen as sad and mean is coming to an end. Fear thoughts used to scare me, used to drive me up the wall. They left me shaking, wishing that I had no thoughts at all. Fear thoughts used to grip me with their fingers cold as ice. And now I know my Savior's here, I'm one with Jesus Christ. I'm laughing now so joyfully, I'm laughing every day. I'm laughing at those fear thoughts till those fear thoughts go away. I'm laughing and I'm happy in a way I've never been. This world I've seen as sad and mean is coming to an end. The walls will all come tumbling down, the tensions all will cease. Love will flow with certainty when all our fears release. And fear will disappear like boogeymen when lights are on. When we're sad, we're listening to Satan's favorite song. And I'm laughing now so joyfully, I'm laughing every day. I'm laughing at those fear thoughts till those fear thoughts go away. I'm laughing and I'm happy in a way I've never been. This world I've seen as sad and mean is coming to an end. Don't fear, the world will end your life. It can't end what is true. What you believe, what you perceive can change, but not what's you. So yes, the world we know will end, but soon what's new is here. And laughing children of the Lord will dwell in love, not fear. And we're laughing now so joyfully, we're laughing every day. We're laughing at those fear thoughts till those fear thoughts go away. We're laughing and we're happy in a way we've never. seen a saddened mean is coming to an end. We're laughing now so joyfully, we're laughing every day. We're laughing at those fear thoughts till those fear thoughts go away. We're laughing and we're happy in a way we've never been. This world we've seen as sad and mean is coming to an end. It's coming to an end.
How we choose to view the world is extremely discretionary. Intellectuals who claim to be atheists have chosen to look at the world through the lens of tangibilism, that is, choosing to allow into their awareness only that which one can sense with the five physical senses, and constructing hypotheses based on that data. It is, however, quite incomplete. Christians, who may be just as intellectual, have chosen to look at the world through a book that is purported to be from God, the Bible. Both Christians and atheists who limit their view to literal interpretation only are missing most of the amazing and wondrous truth. The atheist who refuses to acknowledge the immortal, invisible spark that moves or animates the bodies all around, and the Christian who refuses to acknowledge the deep truths that God's Spirit can impart to them, which come through study of the Bible and prayer, are equally not seeing with eyes fully open. I liken it, in both cases, to limiting the senses to thoroughly studying a crystal glass. It is a beautiful thing to examine, but it is empty and dead if the pure, amazing, and life-filled fountain of God, which is there but invisible, is not included in the study. The stories in the Bible, when they are allowed time to simmer in a fertile and humble mind, convey the workings of God in the whole of mankind as well as the individuals that make up mankind. God desires that our hearts be purified. By heart, of course, I don't mean the physical pump that circulates our blood. Note the following Bible verse, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This piece of wisdom states a truth that also helps define the word heart for us. Apparently, the heart is something we think into, and in so doing, we become what we are thinking. The heart, then, must be a receptacle of our thoughts which accumulate, making our worldview what it is. For an incredible treasure of information, read the many references to heart found in God's Word. The ramifications of Proverbs 23:7 are quite unlimited. Consider what it means when we constantly think about worldly toys we either have or want, or when we obsess on something someone did to us in the past. In both examples, we are actually changing our hearts to conform to these things. Is this an appropriate occupation of the Christian mind and heart? Do we want to become bitter, sad, and mean because we would rather not forgive someone for their offense? God's wisdom in the Word says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. Do we want to become so wrapped up in worldly treasures that we forego the treasures of the Spirit, like love, joy, and peace? Do we want to become our thoughts, which encompass the limited worldly pleasures and pains? Or is there something better to conform to? Romans 12:2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order to prove by you what is that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. So being transformed by the renewing of our minds appears to be a conscious decision we make to conform to something higher and more pure than the world's standard. Looking for more godly wisdom on the heart, we find in Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here is another view of our heart from a slightly different angle. The things we treasure do display the workings of our cumulative thoughts for all to see. You may be concerned about your outer appearance, but what of your inner appearance? What do you treasure above all else? As you take inventory, you will awaken to what your inner appearance is to others. Are you happy with it? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. This one is especially hard for many Christians, as well as those outside the faith, who are living lives fully dependent only on their own initiative, their own strength, and their own perception. The people who fully rely only on themselves have to assume that all decisions they make are correct, even though they may be driving a steamroller over everyone else involved with them. They are narcissistic, often prideful, unconcerned or unaware that they are making decisions that will tragically cost them and others in ways they may never know. God's Holy Spirit, however, does know all aspects of a situation, and He is willing to share His wisdom with you. How? When you become humble enough, you can actually learn how to hear His voice and make better decisions. I know it sounds like a fairy tale or magic, but truthfully, we, by ourselves, don't know much at all about anything that's going on around us. We can't know the hearts of even our closest family members, let alone our business associates and friends. We presume much, and usually incorrectly, when we rely only on ourselves. And we go about like a bull in a china shop, smashing people's dreams and self-esteem without even knowing it, all because we insist the only person we can believe in is ourselves. The Bible is rich with stories that, on a deep level, nourish and satisfy us if we are humble enough to allow God's Word to do its work in our hearts. The prideful cannot appreciate the subtle teachings of God's Word because their carefully built walls prevent the assimilation of the deeper truths, truths that all lead to the one truth found in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. As an example, let's take a look at some of the gems of wisdom found in the story of the children of the Israelites and their bungled attempt to enter the Promised Land. The children of the Israelites' failed journey to the Promised Land is analogous to our own journey to heaven. If we are in complete rebellion to divine authority, we too will suffer much longer than we need to. We too will take the long way, circling around and around in the desert just outside the Promised Land, instead of accepting the truth that will make us free of our inherited and self-inflicted carnal nature. It is worthwhile to consider that the battles which the second generation Israelites had when Joshua was leader are very similar to the battles we go through when God is cleansing us from our carnal nature. The ethnic cleansings portrayed in the Bible can be symbolically interpreted in the light of God moving in and taking every last root of carnality, or our sin infestation, out of our minds and hearts. The reader of God's Word should consider the parable quality of every biblical event, a form of communication from God to those who have eyes to see. While all the biblical events have actually occurred, as I believe they did, deeper and more appropriate meanings can emerge when the mind is not limited to literal interpretation only. The Holy Spirit may ask us, "Do you see how this passage fits your life right now?" With prayer, the Holy Spirit guides our reading, making God's Word come alive for us. Reading the Bible should not be intellectually driven, but Holy Spirit driven. The atheist, too, may have limited his sight to considering only the physical containers of this invisible animating spark, ignoring our souls. How sad that he may be concentrating only on the surface and miss the reflection of our Savior found in those who have Jesus' Spirit dwelling in their hearts. This world needs more Christians willing to reflect Jesus so that he might be seen even by those whose hearts are hardened against the gospel. O Lord, help me be that very necessary person who is willing to reflect Jesus even as I wander in this dark and confusing world. How can you use me, God? How can I help the lost to not be angrier at me, a Christian, than they need to be? I know that Christianity is an affront to their sensibilities, and they are angry at God, but they do not have to be so angry at me, too. If they attack me, how can I respond lovingly, knowing they are confused at who their enemy is, even thinking it might be me? How can I show them that they have no enemy in Christ, nor any enemy in me? Thank you, God, for being with me and guiding me through this groundbreaking stage as I pray for the lost. The writers of the Bible were inspired to share their stories and visions in order to convey or reflect the deeper nature of our minds and hearts. With this divine help, we can see the map of our lives, the whole picture, which culminates in the coming of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We too learn that Jesus Christ can be in us as we can be in Him through Jesus' selfless and agonizing atonement, which took place on the cross. In addition, we learn that we too can, indeed must, die to self. In that selflessness, we will be witnesses for others who may eventually have their eyes opened and see the value of complete submission to Jesus and His holiness. This is the ultimate goal of the Bible. As I have stated, meditators of the Bible have learned that they cannot glean much from its pages without the help of God's Holy Spirit. At our prayerful desire, He will touch our minds, giving light and wisdom and incredible interpretations which become wonderfully applicable in our lives. The faithful know this is true, but as an act of love, those not of the faith must be prayed for and gently ushered into this truth, not scorned for what they can't understand. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, who leads us to our holiness here on earth and subsequently to our holiness in heaven. The Word says in Hebrews, "We shall not see God unless we are holy." So we Christians have to become more interested in praying for and obtaining God's gift of holiness. Bear in mind, however, that holiness means so much more than practicing abstinence from certain things, wearing certain clothes, and so forth. It means an honest inner purity and genuine love for God and fellow humans.
Jesus, please take us from this grandstand world. It's time we got into the game. We're so tired of this grandstand world where feelings never seem to change. Sometimes this world seems so unjust. I think we'll find, I hope we'll find, that through your mind, the sidelines aren't for us.